Lecture topic, Walking in the Footprints of the Illustrious Companions, Part 1.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Wa Salatu Wa Salamu Ala Al Mab'uuthi Rahmatan Lil Alameen, Wa Ala Alihi Wa Ashabihi Wa Man Walahum Bi Ihsanin Ila Yawmid Deen Wa Ba'd. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد رضي الله عن المؤمنين إذ يبايعونك تحت الشجرة فعلم ما في قلوبهم فأنزل السكينة عليهم وأثابهم فتحا قريبا ومغانم كثيرة يأخذونها وكان الله عزيزا حكيما وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم لا يدخل النار أحد ممن بايع تحت الشجرة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, it is an accepted fact without fear of contradiction that in every academic class there are some dropouts. In every family, like it or not, accept it or deny it, there are some fallouts. Regardless of how brilliant the parent is, how competent the teacher is, or how impressive the methodology is, society chooses to refer to these individuals as the delinquents or the rebels of the community. The group of Sahaba is the only group in the history of humanity in which there is no dropout Sahabi. There is no dropout Sahabi. Everyone stands out as a beacon of light. Just as Allah chose the best era for His Nabi, and the noblest book for His Nabi, and the best land for His Nabi, so did Allah select the best humans for the companionship of His Nabi. فَاخْتَارَ اللَّهُ لَهُ أَصْحَابًا Allah made a divine selection in the favor of Sahaba. Bishr ibn Harith rahmatullah alayhi used to say, أَوْثَقُ عَمَلِي فِي نَفْسِي حُبُّ أَصْحَابِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ The action in which I have the greatest hope for salvation is my love for the Sahaba. The action in which I have the greatest hope that Allah will forgive and pardon me is my inherent love, attachment and bond to the Sahaba. And I ask Allah at this juncture, as I have traveled from South Africa and you have come from different parts of the United Kingdom, notwithstanding the cold, on the association of the love, may Allah instill within our hearts the true love of Sahaba. The Arabic poet said, Inni uhibbu Aba Hafsin wa shi'atihi, kama uhibbu atiqan sahib al-ghari, wa qad radhitu aliyan qudwatan, wa ma radhitu biqatli al-shaykhi fi al-dari, kullu al-sahabati sadati, fahal alayya bihadha al-qawli min aari. He said, verily I love Umar and I love the family of Umar, just as I am fond of Abu Bakr, the companion of the cave. وَقَدْ رَضِيتُ عَلِيًّا قُدْوَةً And I'm more than happy in accepting Ali as my mentor and my guide. وَمَا رَضِيتُ بِقَتْلِ الشَّيْخِ فِي الدَّارِ And I will never condone the brutal murder and the killing and the assassination of Uthman radiallahu anhu. كُلُّ السَّحَابَةِ سَادَاتِ All the Sahaba without exception are my leaders, are my inspiration, are my guiding stars. فَهَلْ عَلَيَّ بِهَذَا الْقَوْلِ مِنْ عَارِي Is there any individual who frowns or objects on these sentiments of ours? Iman compels us that we not only attach ourselves to the galaxy of Sahaba, but nay we become beloved or we love those whom Sahaba equally loved. Iman compels us, we take it a step further. The narration of Ibn Sa'd, Abu Wa'il radiallahu anhu says, قدم إلينا عبد الله ابن مسعود. عبد الله ابن مسعود came to us. فنعى إلينا عمر. He conveyed to us the sad news of the tragic death of عمر رضي الله عنه. فلم أرى يوما كان أكثر باكيا ولا حزينا منه. He said, I've never seen a more sad day in my life than the day that Sayyidina عمر رضي الله عنه passed away. Furthermore, he said, وَاللَّهِ لَوْ أَعْلَمُ أَنَّ عُمَرْ يُحِبُّ كَلْبًا لَأَحْبَبْتُهُ If I have to know that Umar loved an animal, I would become fond of that dog. If I knew Umar loved an animal, I would become fond of that dog. وَإِنِّي لَأَحْسِبُ الْعِضَاهَ قَدْ وَجَدَ عُمَرْ. And for all I care, it's not only the humans lamenting the demise of Umar. I believe all the trees in Medina have joined us and they're equally crying. I believe all the trees in Medina have joined us and they are equally crying. Someone asked Abu Rabi'a ibn Abi Abdul Rahman, إِنْ عَتْلِي أَبَا بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرْ. Describe Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma to us. He said, لا أدري كيف أنعتهما. I don't know where to commence. أما هما فقد سبقا من كان معهما وأتعبا من كان بعدهما. In two words I say and I summarize it. They surpassed all those who lived in their era and they tired all those who came thereafter. They surpassed all those who lived in that era. Ibn Asakir makes mention of the narration. Abu Raja al-Utaridi said, أتيت المدينة. I came to Medina. فإذا الناس مجتمعون. People had converged and congregated. وإذا في وسطهم رجل يقبل رأس رجل. And in the dead center of this gathering was an individual and he was kissing the person next to him. I nudged the man next to me. And I said, مَنِ الْمُقَبِّلْ وَمَنِ الْمُقَبَّلْ. Who's the man kissing and who's the man being kissed? He said, ذَاكَ عُمَرُ بْنُ الْخَطَّابِ يُقَبِّلُ رَأْسَ أَبِي بَكْرٍ. That is Umar. And the man he's kissing is Abu Bakr. He's paying tribute to Abu Bakr. And he said, أَنَا فِدَاكَ لَوْلَا أَنْتَ هَلَكْنَا. Abu Bakr, I salute you. I compliment you. I pay tribute to you. If it was not for you, the steadfastness with which you had suppressed the uprising and the elements post the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I don't know what would have happened in Medina. The narration of Bazzar, Muhammad ibn Uqayl narrates it on the strength of Ali radiallahu anhu. One day Ali radiallahu anhu addressed a group of people. And he said, tell me, man ashja'u an-nas, who is the bravest of all? So people said, anta ya amir al-mu'mineen. Oh Ali, that honor and that privilege goes to you. You stand up to be the most brave amongst us. Now sahaba were not a group of people that would latch onto undue credit. While Sayyidina Ali stands up to be one of the most brave of people without doubt. But he said, no, I appreciate the sentiments and I respect what you said. But that accolade cannot be conferred upon me. This honor and this privilege goes to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. جَعَلْنَا لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَرِيشًا. We had erected a tent for the Master sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a campaign. And we said, who will patrol this area? Who will patrol? فَمَا دَنَا مِنَّا أَحَدْ إِلَّا أَبُو بَكْرٍ شَاهِرًا بِالسَّيْفِ. It was Abu Bakr with a naked sword that patrolled around the Master sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then Ali radiallahu anhu went to say, وَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَأَخَذَتْهُ قُرَيْشٌ. One day I seen the Master sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when the Quraysh had surrounded him, apprehended him, intercepted him. None amongst us could muster the courage to come forward other than Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. يَضْرِبُ هَذَا وَيُجَاهِدُ هَذَا وَيُتَلْتِلُ هَذَا. He moved one, he pushed another, he dropped a third. And then he advanced and he said, أَتَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلًا أَن يَقُولَ رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ. Do you choose to kill an individual? Do you choose to oppose an individual simply because he proclaims the oneness of Allah? ثُمَّ رَفَعَ عَلِيٌّ بُرْدَةً كَانَتْ عَلَيْهِ. Ali رضي الله عنه then lifted his shawl that was on him. فَبَكَى حَتَّى خَضَلَّتْ لِحْيَتُهُ. And then he started crying and he started sobbing. And then he addressed the congregation. And he said, أُنْشِدُكُمْ بِاللَّهِ. In the name of Allah, I swear to you and I ask you, أَمُؤْمِنُ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ خَيْرٌ أَمْ أَبُو بَكْرٍ. The person who accepted faith from the family of Pharaoh, the Quran makes categoric reference in the 24th juz in Surah Mu'min. Some narrations suggest his name was Shama'an. Other narrations suggest his name was Hizqil. This is mentioned in Tha'labi on the strength of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. I ask you, was he a better individual or Abu Bakr? فَسَكَتَ الْقَوْمِ. There was pin drop silence. And then Ali radiallahu anhu said, لَسَّاعَةٌ مِّنْ أَبِي بَكْرٍ خَيْرٌ لساعة من أبي بكر خير من ملء الأرض من مؤمن آل فرعون. أي moment, Bazar's narration, a moment, a second in the life of Abu Bakr is greater than filling the entire world with believers like that from the family of Pharaoh. هذا رجل يكتم إيمانه وأبو بكر أعلن إيمانه. This was a person who camouflaged, who disguised, who concealed his faith. And perhaps logistically, politically, whatever it is. But Abu Bakr was a man who came public with his iman. Abu Bakr was a man who prided himself with his iman. Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu, paying tribute to Abu Bakr. Paying tribute to Abu Bakr, he looks at Bilal radiallahu anhu walking. He said, Jazallahu khayran an Bilalin wa sahbihi atiqa. Jazallahu khayran an Bilalin wa sahbihi atiqan. Wa akhza fakihan wa aba jahli. Ashiyatan hamma fi Bilalin bisawati. Wa lam yahdara ma yahdaru almar'u dhul aqli. Bitawhidihi rabbal anami. Wa qawlihi shahidtu bi anna Allah rabbi ala mahli. فإن يقتلوني يقتلوني فلم أكن لأشرك بالرحمن من خيفة القتل فيا رب إبراهيم والعبد يونس وموسى وعيسى نجني ثم لا تبلي. I wish you could comprehend this in the original text. He said, جزى الله خيرا عن بلال وصحبي. May Allah give a handsome reward to Abu Bakr on behalf of Bilal and his companions. Jazallahu khayran an Bilalin wa sahbihi atiqan. And this is another point. And I believe whenever I speak, I urge my audience, as I walk you through the lives of Sahaba, draw comparisons, make the revolution, make the intention, make the rectification. And we have to make and internalize these beautiful traits into our lives. What was the salient feature of Sahaba? They complemented one another. They did not contradict. So they pooled their resources. So it was a common body with a common agenda, with a common objective. It was not me against you. We were not competing. We had the faith of Allah to prosper, the deen of Allah to prosper. So when the Muhajirin migrated to Medina and the Ansar poured out everything they possibly owned, their hospitality was unprecedented, unparalleled. For a moment, the Muhajirin said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لَقَدْ خَشِينَا أَن يَذْهَبُوا بِالْأَجْرِ كُلِّهِ. O Nabi of Allah, just a reflection, just an introspection. I'm just wondering, in relation to the hospitality our brothers have offered us, I wonder if there's any reward left for us. I wonder, will we have anything? And the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the most amazing prophetic formula by virtue of which you can have yourself included in the good activities of the Muslims across the globe. He said, do two things and you will be included in their good. Ma da'awtumu Allah lahum wa athnaytum alayhim bi khayr. Include them in your prayers and verbally acknowledge them and Allah will equally reward you. But I'm afraid we want to contradict because I have a personal agenda. So Ammar ibn Yasir was not shy to pay tribute to Abu Bakr. Jazallahu khayran an Bilalin wa sahbih. May Allah reward on behalf of Bilal and his companions Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu. Wa akhza fakihan wa aba jahli. And may Allah humiliate and disgrace Faqih ibn Mughira, Ammu Abi Jahlin, who was the uncle of Abu Jahl and Abu Jahl himself. Ashiyatan hamma fi Bilalin bisawati. On a particular evening, these two wicked, nasty, wretched people made wicked advancements towards Sayyidina Bilal radiyallahu anhu. Walam yahdara ma yahdaru almar'u dhul aqli. And they did not afford him the common dignity that any ordinary citizen would enjoy. What was the crime of Bilal? بِتَوْحِيدِهِ رَبَّ الْأَنَامِ. Simply because he proclaimed Tawheed, the doctrine of one Allah. وَقَوْلِهِ شَهِدْتُ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ رَبِّي عَلَى مَهْلِي. And Bilal openly publicized his iman رضي الله عنه. And then he concludes the couplets with the sentiments of Bilal. فَإِن يَقْتُلُونِي يَقْتُلُونِي فَإِن يَقْتُلُونِي يَقْتُلُونِي. That statement is brimming with faith. That statement, it epitomizes the spirit of a believer. فَإِن يَقْتُلُونِي يَقْتُلُونِي فَلَمْ أَكُنْ لِأُشْرِكَ بِالرَّحْمَانِ مِنْ خِيفَةِ الْقَتْلِ. If they choose to behead me, if they choose to kill me, so be it. Out of the fear or the threat of losing my life, I will never forsake my faith. فَيَا رَبَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَالْعَبْدَ يُونُسٍ وَمُوسَى وَعِيسَى نَجِّنِي. O the Lord of Musa, O the Lord of Ibrahim, grant me salvation and grant me protection. Muhammad ibn Samak rahmatullah alayh, sitting in a gathering in which Harun Rashid was there and other prominent personalities were there. Hamid Allah wa athna alayh. He praised Allah and he sent salutations on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he said, ما يساوي ألف من الخلف واحدا من السلف. Leave the Sahaba, 1,000 of us cannot be equal to our pious predecessors. And this is a very critical thing we need to understand. Islam is a beautiful religion that advocates respect across the divide. Yesterday when I touched down at Birmingham International and the police officer took me aside and asked me a few questions, and he asked me a question, what would you advocate, which your invite letter claims is in harmony with Islamic values and British principles? And I said it and I say it. Islam is a religion that teaches us respect across the divide. In the Quran, Allah makes reference to the spouse of Lut as illa ajuzan fil ghabirin. That those that were destroyed remained behind and those that were protected were taken away. In the scholars of tafsir dissect this word ajuz. And many give an explanation that she was not an elderly woman. She was not old. But the Quran makes reference to this woman as an old woman, notwithstanding her disbelief, she was the spouse of a Nabi. Islam teaches us respect. Look at the phrase of the Quran. Illa ajuzan fil ghabirin. Islam teaches us respect, and that's the message you'll get from the galaxy of Sahaba. Under this verse in the 16 Jews where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, وَعَصَى آدَمُ رَبَّهُ فَغَوَى. Anybody familiar with Arabic would know asa and ghawa are stern words. And Allah has used these two stern words on the context of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam in relation to the mistake that he made and he ate from the forbidden tree. Allama Qurtubi rahmatullah alayhi writes that these are words that Allah has used, and obviously Allah is the greatest. Wallahu la yastahi min al-haq. And Allah enjoys the authority to admonish, to reprimand, to discipline any of his creation. But then he goes on to say, it doesn't give you and I the license. It doesn't give you and I the license that we latch onto this vocabulary and we make reference to Adam in a condescending way. What derogatory comments. فَأَمَّا أَن يَبْتَدِئَ مِنْ قِبَلِ نَفْسِهِ فَلَيْسَ بِجَائِزٍ لَنَا فِي أَبَائِنَا الْأَوَّلِينَ فَكَيْفَ فِي أَبِينَ الْأَقْدَمِ النَّبِي الَّذِي تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. He said, we will only make reference to this when we read the verse of the Quran. But to initiate the discussion, to bring in vocabulary from my side, to make this a deliberated topic, and to reflect over it and to speak ours, it is not permissible for me to use unpleasant vocabulary on my recent forefathers. How dare I pronounce inflammatory comments against the first of humans, against the Nabi of Allah, the person from whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the entire universe. So Islam is a religion that advocates respect across the divide, across the religious boundaries, across the geographical boundaries, respect to one and all. What did he say? And unfortunately, we live in a time where we want to speak ill of our pious predecessors, where every man has a tongue of his own, and every person has a podium of his own, and the net has given him a platform of his own. Vent yourself and throw out your frustration and make any and every comment about our pious predecessors. He said, مَا يُسَاوِي أَلْفٌ مِّنَ الْخَلَفِ وَاحِدًا مِّنَ السَّلَفِ. 1,000 of us cannot be equal to one of those that passed. عَوْنِ ابْنِ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ used to say, مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ كَانُوا يَجْعَلُونَ لِلدُّنْيَا مَا فَضُلَ عَنْ آخِرَتِهِمْ وَإِنَّكُمْ تَجْعَلُونَ لِآخِرَتِكُمْ مَا فَضُلَ عَنْ دُنْيَاكُمْ. There's a big difference between the pious and us. They devoted their resources for akhirah. If anything remained, they channeled it in this world. You've reversed the entire thing. You devote your resources to this world. If anything remains, you channel it towards Akhirah. He went on to say, then he started speaking about the Sahaba and he paid tribute to them. He said, Ya Aba Bakrin balaghta ghayat al-i'timar haythu madahaka al-malik al-jabbar wa ya Umar lam takun waliya wa innama kunta walida wa ya Umar lam takun waliya wa innama kunta walida wa ya Uthman qutilta madhluma wa lam tazal madfuna وما قولك في من وحد الله طفلا صغيرا حتى توفي كهلا كبيرا. He said, Abu Bakr, you reached the pinnacle of counseling. This planet will never see a greater counselor. بلغت غاية الاعتمار حيث مدحك الملك الجبار. Allah acknowledges and gives testimony to your counseling. You know, you say, He stood by my side in my marriage. He stood by my side in my financial problems. You stood by the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam and counseled him on the night of Hijrah. You stood, بلغت غاية الاعتمار. You were the greatest of counselors and you counseled the greatest of person. إذ مدحك الملك الجبار. When Allah himself praised you and said, ثاني اثنين إذ هما في الغار إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا ويا عمر لم تكن واليا. وَإِنَّمَا كُنْتَ وَالِدًا. Umar, you were not a ruler. You were not a governor. You were not a monarch. You were not a king. You were a father to the nation. You were a father to the nation. May Allah transmit my sentiments to the political arena across the globe. Today we have become orphans. Look around you and search for one man who's in a driving seat who embodies the sentiments of a father to his children. وَيَا عُمَرْ لَمْ تَكُنْ وَالِيَا وَإِنَّمَا كُنْتَ وَالِدًا. Nay, let me say to you, today a biological father is no longer a father in his house in terms of his approach, dogmatic, autocrat, dictating. That sounds more like a ruler than a father to his own children. Umar, you were a father to the nation across the world. وَيَا عُثْمَانْ قُتِلْتَ مَذْلُومًا وَلَمْ تَزَلْ مَدْفُونًا. You've been wrongly killed and you remain in the mercy of Allah. And then he goes on to say, وَمَا قَوْلُكْ. Where do I begin praising a man who acknowledged the greatness of Allah, testified the oneness of Allah from the time his eyes opened, became the son-in-law of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and became one of the most learned people and the greatest sons of Islam. فَهَذَا صَاحِبُ الْغَارِ وَهَذَا إِمَامُ الْأَعْصَارِ وَهَذَا أَحَدُ الْأَخْيَارِ مَدَحَهُمْ الْمَلِكُ الْجَبَّارِ وَأَسْكَنَهُمْ دَارَ الْأَبْرَارِ. He said, when you look at Abu Bakr, the companion of the cave, you look at Umar, the leader of the nation, you look at Uthman and Ali. Uthman radiallahu anhu wedded the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His aunt looked at him and he said, أَبْشِرْ وَقَدْ حُيِّيتَ ثَلَاثًا وِطْرًا ثُمَّ ثَلَاثًا وَثَلَاثًا أُخْرَى ثُمَّ بِأُخْرَى لِكَيْ تُتِمَّ عَشْرًا لَقِيتَ خَيْرًا وَوُقِيتَ شَرًّا نكحت والله حصانا زهرا وأنت بكر ولقيت بكرا. Uthman, where do I start praising you? أبشير, congratulations. حييت ثلاثا وطرا ثم ثلاثا وثلاثا أخرى ثم بأخرى. Arabic is amazing. It's phenomenal. It's mind-boggling. Three praises of Allah upon you. Put on another three and make it another three and then rounding up with another one and make it 10. May Allah shower 10 blessings on you. And that could denote takthir, multiple. ثُمَّ بِأُخْرَى لِكَيْ تُتِمَّ عَشْرًا لَقِيتَ خَيْرًا وَوُقِيتَ شَرًّا. Good has fallen in your plate and divinely you've been protected against evil. نَكَحْتَ وَاللَّهِ حَصَانًا زَهْرًا وَأَنْتَ بِكْرٌ وَلَقِيتَ بِكْرًا. Allah wedded you to the daughter of the Master sallallahu alayhi wasallam. No human in the annals of human history enjoys the privilege of wedding two daughters of any Nabi. Understand this. No human enjoys the privilege of wedding two daughters of any Nabi. Only to know Uthman enjoys it with the greatest Nabi. Radiyallahu anhu wa arda. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu said, Antum aktharu salatan. وأكثر صياما وأكثر اجتهادا من أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهم كانوا خيرا منكم. Listen, O people, You exert yourself more than the companions did. At times you fast more than they observe fast. But I must tell you, they stand out to be closer to Allah than all of you together. قَالُوا لِمَا يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ قَالُوا لِمَا يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ Oh, Ibn Mas'ud, tell us why. Unpack that, dissect that for us. Elucidate on this. He said, لِأَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا أَزْهَدُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَأَرْغَبُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ Simply because they were abstinent from this world. The goal was Akhirah. The aim was Akhirah. The objective was Akhirah. While you engage in your worship, but your heart is occupied with the riches of this world. Bilal ibn Sa'd was one of the great orators of Islam. He one day addressing his audience said, لَوْ سَلِمْتُمْ مِنَ الْخَطَايَا If you safeguard yourself against all evils, فَلَمْ تَعْمَلُوا فِي مَا بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ خَطِيئًا You perpetrate no crime, you commit no offense. وَلَمْ تَتْرُكُوا لِلَّهِ طَاعَةً إِلَّا جَهَدْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ فِي أَدَائِهَا And you leave no opportunity of worship but that you assert and exert and fulfill and implement that in your life. However, your heart remains occupied with the love of this world, the embellishments of this world. لَوَسِعَكُمْ ذَلِكَ شَرًّا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ This one is enough to envelope you, to engulf you in evil in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Hubayra radiyallahu anhu, the narration is in Muslim Sharif. Abu Hubayra, A'id ibn Amr al-Muzani. Abu Hubayra, A'id ibn Amr al-Muzani. Wa huwa min ahli bay'at al-Ridwan. He was from the veterans of Ridwan. Now, you know, read this whole thing in the 26 juz in Surah Fatah, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about those who pledge their allegiance. And sometimes when I'm going through these verses, I get so excited in my thoughts. And I want to imagine, and I get overwhelmed by the mere thought. لَقَدَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لَقَدَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ فَأَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَثَابَهُمْ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا Indeed, Allah was pleased with the believers. 1400 in number. The hadith of Bukhari and Muslim, the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at them and said, أَنْتُمْ خَيْرُ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ On this earth at this moment, there is nobody more noble than you on the entire earth. Not Arabia, not the Arabian Peninsula, across the globe, there does not reside more noble humans on planet earth than you. The hadith of Muslim Sharif, لَا يَدْخُلُ النَّارَ أَحَدٌ مِمَّنْ بَايَعَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ Anyone who pledged his allegiance to me beneath the tree will never ever be subjected to the flames of hell. Imam Qurtubi rahmatullah alayhi in his tafsir has made an amazing analogy. Just to put things into context, I don't want to go into the intricacies of the entire campaign. Hudaybiyah in essence, Hudaybiyah was the name of a well and the entire area was then known by this very place. But in essence, it was the name of a well. There was repeated provocation from the disbelievers. And they were playing the very tough card with the Muslims. To the extent when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was denied a safe passage to Makkah, then he said, okay, let's enter into a peace treaty and let's sign an agreement. And finally it was agreed. It was a bitter pill to swallow, but nonetheless, he surrendered and he accepted. And he wrote that this is a covenant, this is an agreement, this is a pact, this is a peace treaty between Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the kuffar of Makkah. And they said, no, we have objections to this. The whole contentious issue for us is you're not a prophet. لَوْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَا صَدَدْنَاكَ عَنِ الْبَيْتِ If we accepted you as a prophet, we would allow you a free passage. The contentious issue is we don't accept your prophethood. So you will have to erase and delete this aspect that you're a prophet. And you must write this is between Muhammad, the son of Abdullah. Allah makes reference to this in the Quran. إِذْ جَعَلَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْحَمِيَّةِ حَمِيَّةَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ فَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَى رَسُولِهِ وَعَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَأَلْزَمَهُمْ كَلِمَةَ التَّقْوَى وَكَانُوا أَحَقَّ بِهَا وَأَهْلَهَا There's so much in this ayah relevant to the topic of Sahaba. When the disbelievers displayed this prejudiced nature, حَمِيَّةَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ فَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ But Allah allowed tranquility to descend upon the believers. وَأَلْزَمَهُمْ كَلِمَةَ التَّقْوَى And Allah kept them bonded to the word of piety. And then Allah said, وَكَانُوا أَحَقَّ بِهَا وَأَهْلَهَا It is the Sahaba who are most deserving of this. It is the Sahaba that are the closest to this. The scholars say by virtue of this, Allah blows the morale and those who chant evil things against the Sahaba, that regardless of what you say in their favor, Allah referred to them as the closest to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the most deserving when it came to Iman. Furthermore, he makes a deduction that despite the provocation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not allow the Sahaba to engage in battle. And the Quran makes reference to this here that وَهُوَ الَّذِي كَفَّ أَيْدِيَهُمْ عَنْكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ عَنْهُمْ بِبَطْنِ مَكَّةَ مِنْ بَعْدِ أَنْ أَظْفَرَكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرًا هُمُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَصَدُّوكُمْ عَنِ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ وَالْهَدِيَ مَعْكُوفًا أَنْ يَبْلُغَ مَحِلَّهُ وَلَوْلَا رِجَالٌ مُؤْمِنُونَ وَنِسَاءٌ مُؤْمِنَاتٌ لَمْ تَعْلَمُوهُمْ أَنْ تَطَؤُوهُمْ فَتُصِيبَكُمْ مِنْهُمْ مَعَرَّةٌ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. He dissects the word ma'arra. And if you go into Lughatul Quran and you go into Arabic grammar, you'll find the word ma'arra could mean madarra, it could mean harm, difficulty, it could mean aib, it could mean a blemish, shame, embarrassment, etc. He says the most relevant context of the word here is a shame and embarrassment. Now just you know, give me your undivided attention to appreciate the profile of Sahaba. The Quran says that due to the fact that in Makkah there were some Muslims that were residing. وَلَوْلَا رِجَالٌ مُؤْمِنُونَ وَنِسَاءٌ مُؤْمِنَاتٌ لَمْ تَعْلَمُوهُمْ أَنْ تَطَعُوهُمْ. If you had to engage with the disbelievers. And here again is the beauty of Islam. Today we know under the slogans of collateral damage, how many innocent civilians have lost their lives. It's plain with vocabulary. It's plain with words. It's speaking with forked tongues. I said the other day in June when I was here, I read an article and I mentioned it to someone just yesterday. I was reading an article, they say, about obesity and how many lives it's claiming. So the article suggested that one of the reasons why we cannot curtail and curb obesity is because the term obesity sounds like a medical condition. It sounds like a person has a serious problem and you sympathize with him. They say now there is a need to stigmatize the condition. And you need to be a bit harsh and abrupt and say you're fat. That's what the article was, blatant and aggressive, just like that. He said we need to come out of the medical, scientific terminologies and use the word obesity, and you know, it sounds medical. Oh, okay, I guess you go for therapy for your condition or what. You know, you're going to counter it. He said, no, we need to use now the word fat and become a little insensitive so that it puts pressure on the person to obviously bring his tummy in. Be it as it may, look at the beauty of Islam. If you were to engage in battle at that time, the chances were you would have wrongly killed the Muslims. Because obviously in Makkah there were many innocent Muslims, the likes of Abu Jundul and others, who were victims of the aggression of the infidels of Makkah. And in the interim, you could have killed them wrongly. فَتُصِيبَكُمْ مِنْهُمْ مَعَرَّةٌ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. Now unintentionally, unwittingly, if you had killed, it's definitely not a sin, but obviously it's a source of embarrassment. It's a source of shame that you have killed your own. Allama Qurtubi rahmatullah alayhi writes in his tafsir, the Sahaba were not prophets, they were not sinless. But from time to time, there was divine intervention to save them from mistakes also. There was divine intervention. Had they embarked and did, they would have not been sinners in the eyes of Allah. Islamic jurisprudence will spell out to you the implications of qatl khata. If by mistake you've killed a person, there's a penalty, but it's not a sin because you have not intended it. But there was divine intervention from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to avoid them from errors as well. Be it as it may, this was the occasion of Hudaybiyah. So Abu Hubayra Aid ibn Amr al-Muzani radiyallahu anhu, I'm saying to you, my brother, how much have you studied the lives of Sahaba? I've been speaking about it back home due to the fact that obviously the World Cup was played there. So many things of the World Cup came out in the papers. There was an article in the media back home, and I spoke about it in many of my talks. And I'll say it again. What did the article read? Meet the 11 greatest sinners in football history. The flip side of the coin. This wasn't pulled out of any alternative media. It was there in the mainstream when the hype was on and it was happening. And there was a whole dedicated 2 pages. A friend of mine brought it and he said, Sheikh, this will make good material for your lectures. Meet the 11 greatest sinners in football history. The article further went on to say, we call them Misdeeds United. We call them Misdeeds United. One of them was proud to say in an interview that he bedded 700 women. Look at the innocence of a child. I mentioned this in a talk. My young son came to me and said, Dad, how did that woman fit in one room? Once upon a time, that was the fabric of our society. Someone came to one of my scholars and said, our son is born to me, what name should I keep? He said, name him Uthman, the Ummah needs modest people. There is a vacuum of modesty. Speak of the youth of Sahaba. And this is, I stand here in Birmingham and I say this. We have no hidden agenda. We have no sinister agendas. We want to bring about a good fabric in our society. We want to bring about a good fiber in our community. The hadith of Bukhari. Salma ibn Akwa radiallahu anhu said, Kharaja alayna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The master sallallahu alayhi wasallam comes out. And some children from the Banu Aslam tribe were practicing archery. So the master sallallahu alayhi wasallam came. He added some lightheartedness. He said, Irmu bani Ismail, fa inna abakum kana ramiya. Go for it, go for it. Develop accuracy and precision. After all, your father and your ancestor Ismail alayhi salam was one of the greatest archers that history has seen. Wa ana ma'a bani fulan. And okay, boys, you on that side, I'm joining them, let's go. Fa amsaku aydiyahum. They all dropped their hands down. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Malakum la tarmoon. But what's the matter? I said, right, youth, shoot from that side and we'll play. He said, O Nabi of Allah, when you stood on one side, how dare we fight against you? How dare we play against you? It hit me so hard, it made me cry. An outside environment is an informal environment. It's a casual environment. It's not a structured environment. It's not a discipline. If that which formed the outside environment can become the classroom environment of today, trust me, we've made it. You don't want to know what goes through in an average class. What was that? That speaks volumes. It speaks volumes on the fabric of a community. The children playing at this respect that only be of Allah. How dare I shoot an arrow when you're on that side? There was a time in our history where we showed respect. But today, how blatant, how arrogant are the youth? He will pop a pill. We had a youngster who was admitted in one of our rehabs back in South Africa recently. He was popping 200 pills a day. Every hour he was popping 15 pills. What has happened? It has paralyzed our community. It has destroyed us. Anyway, Abu Hubayra Aid ibn Amr al-Muzani radiyallahu anhu says, Anna Aba Sufyan marra bi Salman wa Suhaib wa Bilal radiyallahu anhu. Abu Sufyan passed by Ammar, Bilal and Suhaib radiyallahu anhu. So they made a remark and they said, Ma akhadhati suyufu min unuqi aduwillahi ma akhadaha. The hadith is in Muslim Sharif. Did not the swords of Allah extract their foe? Did not the swords of Allah extract their due from the foes of Allah? So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu found the statement to be a bit distasteful. He said, تَقُولُونَ هَذَا لِشَيْخِ قُرَيْشٍ وَسَيِّدِهَا. Are you people saying these sentiments to the leader of the Quraysh, the most influential man amongst them? Anyway, they didn't retort and respond. ثُمَّ أَتَى النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Then he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَأَخْبَرَهُ بِالَّذِي قَالُوا. Said, O Nabi of Allah, I passed by, and Bilal, Ammar and Suhaib made this remark to Abu Sufyan. I think it was a bit distasteful and uncalled for, so this is what I said. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَعَلَّكَ أَغْضَبْتَهُمْ يَا أَبَا بَكْرٍ وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَإِنْ كُنْتَ أَغْضَبْتَهُمْ لَقَدْ أَغْضَبْتَ رَبَّكَ. Abu Bakr, I must tell you, as close as you are to me, as beloved as you are to me, as fond as I am to you, but let me tell you, I think that statement of yours has offended Bilal and Ammar and Salman. And if you have offended any of my companions, consider Allah perpetually angry with you. So immediately he comes back. He wasn't shy to apologize. He wasn't shy to apologize. He said, Ya ikhwani la'alli aghdabtukum. My colleagues, my friends, have I offended you? Have I tramped your toes? Have I been in? قَالُوا لَا يَا أَبَا بَكْرٍ يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكْ. No, Abu Bakr, we haven't taken anything personal. All cleared out. This again was the beauty of Sahaba. They would not harbor anything. They would not hold anything. They would not retain anything. They would flush out everything. Their hearts were clean and clear. I will speak on this, inshallah, hopefully time permitting a bit later. Alqama ibn Marthad says, Intaha az-zuhdu ila thamaniya min at-tabi'in. When you look at the quality of abstinence in amongst the tabi'in, then eight amongst them stand out to be unique. They were an embodiment of the quality of abstinence. Minhum al-Hasan ibn Abi al-Hasan. Amongst them was the great giant and the great son of Islam, Hasan Basri. For the record, Hasan Basri was born from a union, parents of whom both were slaves. His father was Yasar, and he was a slave in the house of Zayd ibn Thabit, who is amongst the 13 scribes of Revelation. His mother was Khayra, who was a slave girl in the house of Umm Salma radiallahu anha. So coming from a family of slavery, became one of the greatest sons of Islam. He said, مَا كُنَّا نَرَاهُ إِلَّا أَنَّهُ حَدِيثُ عَهْدٍ بِمُصِيبَةٍ. Whenever we would look at him, it would appear to us if he was attacked with a fresh calamity, perpetually grieving, and he was in deep sorrow, deep meditation. Then he turned to us, Alqama ibn Marthad, and he said, نَذْحَكُ وَلَا نَدْرِي لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ قَدِ اطَّلَعَ عَلَىٰ بَعْضِ أَعْمَالِنَا فَقَالَ لَا أَقْبَلُ مِنْكُمْ شَيْئًا. We sit and indulge and socialize, laugh and chat, and we immerse ourselves in the things of this world, and we know not, perhaps Allah has declared all our actions as unacceptable, and Allah has rejected every good deed of ours. We know not what our results are, and we sit and chat and laugh and enjoy things of this world. Then he said, وَيْحَكَ يَبْنَ آدَمْ وَوْ بِي to you, O the son of Adam. هَلْ لَكَ بِمُحَارَبَةِ اللَّهِ مِنْ طَاقَةٍ. Do you have the strength and the ability to ever challenge Allah? فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ عَصَى اللَّهَ فَقَدْ حَارَبَهُ. The one who disobeys Allah, in essence, has challenged Allah. Then listen to the description he gives of Sahaba. He says, وَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ أَدْرَكْتُ سَبْعِينَ بَدْرِيًّا أَكْثَرُ لِبَاسِهِمْ السُّوفِ لَوْ رَأَيْتُمُوهُمْ قُلْتُمْ مَجَانِينَ وَلَوْ رَأَوْ خِيَارَكُمْ لَقَالُوا مَا لِهَؤُلَاءِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ وَلَوْ رَأَوْ شِرَارَكُمْ لَقَالُوا مَا يُؤْمِنُ هَؤُلَاءِ بِيَوْمِ الْحِسَابِ. He said, I had the privilege to meet 70 Badriyin. You pride yourself, I had dined with this celebrity. I had shared platform with this pop star. I was on a common flight with this player. You pride yourself? He said, I had the honor of meeting 70 Badriyin. 70 of those who participated in Badr, أَكْثَرُ لِبَاسِهِمْ السُّوفِ, they would clad themselves with woolen clothing and nothing else. وَلَوْ رَأَيْتُمُوهُمْ قُلْتُمْ مَجَانِينَ. Alqama ibn Marthad said, due to the fact that you have deviated from the truth to such an extent that if you have to see that Sahaba, instantly, collectively, unanimously, you would agree and you would conclude by saying, Al-Iyadu Billah, these people are insane humans. Walau ra'au, reverse it. Let's see if the Sahaba had to see you. Walau ra'au khiyarakum. If the Sahaba had to see the best amongst you, the noblest amongst you, the cream amongst you, they would say, ma li ha'ula'i min khalaq. These people are devoid and bereft of virtue and character. Walau ra'au shirarakum. And if the Sahaba had to see the evil and the sinful and the wicked amongst you, they would instantly conclude by saying, مَا يُؤْمِنُ هَؤُلَاءِ بِيَوْمِ الْحِسَابِ. These are not Muslims. وَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ أَقْوَامًا. By Allah, I seen Sahaba. كَانَتِ الدُّنْيَا أَهْوَنُ عَلَىٰ أَحَدِهِمْ مِنَ التُّرَابِ تَحْتَ قَدَمَيْهِ. They considered the world more trivial than the sand beneath their feet. وَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ أَقْوَامًا. I seen the Sahaba. يُمْسِي أَحَدُهُمْ. It would be evening. وَمَا يَجِدُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا قُوتًا. He would only have sufficient food to satiate his belly. فَيَقُولُ. He would say, لَا أَجْعَلُ هَذَا كُلَّهُ فِي بَطْنِي لَأَجْعَلَنَّ بَعْضَهُ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ فَيَتَصَدَّقُ بِهِ وَإِنْ كَانَ هُوَ أَحْوَجُ مِمَّنْ يَتَصَدَّقُ بِهِ عَلَيْهِ. They would say to themselves, how can I devour and consume this food when others are also hungry? So I will give a portion of this to a poor man. He goes on to say, I swear by Allah, they were more in need of the food than those to whom they gave the food to. Uwais Qarni rahmatullah alayhi, whenever the sun used to set, whatever food, surplus food he had in his house, he used to give it in charity. And then he used to say, Allahumma man mata ju'an fala tu'akhidhni bihi. Allah, I have cleared my house of everything. There's nothing extra in my house which I can eat. Everything I have given in your path. Don't hold me responsible for any human who dies on the planet out of hunger. Whenever the sun would tip on the western horizon, كان التصدق, he would give in charity with whatever extra clothes he had. Allahumma man mata uryanan fala tu'akhidhni bihi. Allah, anyone who dies because of lack of clothing and shelter, don't hold me accountable. I have emptied out whatever I have in my house. Rabi ibn Khutaym, who was a great tabi'i, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said in his favor, لو رآك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأحبك. Rabi, I must tell you, Allah's Nabi has not seen you, but had he seen you, he would have loved you. Imagine the testimony of Ibn Mas'ud in the favor of a man. I bear guarantee, I stand witness that Allah's Nabi would have loved you. And what did he say? أَدْرَكْنَا أَقْوَامًا كُنَّا فِي جُنُوبِهِمْ لُسُوصًا. When we match and compare ourselves to the Sahaba, Rabi ibn Khutaym say, it looks to me like we are thieves. We are thieves. We are playing around. مَا فِيكُمْ مَا الْمُجْتَهِدْ فِيكُمْ إِلَّا كَاللَّاعِبْ فِي مَنْ مَضَى. The person who exerts himself at optimum level amongst you is like a player when compared to our pious predecessors. Sometimes we get a moment of excitement and we say that really the era of Sahaba was great and undoubtedly it was rich. And we think, I wish I was born in that time. And what if Allah created me amongst the Sahaba? My brother, you know your weakness. My sister, you know your weakness. And I know my own weakness. The planning of Allah is perfect. Let me tell you why I say what I say. Ibn Ishaq makes mention of the narration. Muhammad ibn Ka'b al-Quradi narrates it. أَنَّ رَجُلًا مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكُوفَةِ. One person from Kufa came to the great giant Huzaifa ibn Yaman. He said, رَأَيْتُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَصَحِبْتُمُوهُ. So you seen the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and you stayed in his company? He said, yes indeed. He said, what did you people do for him? Huzaifa radiallahu anhu said, we tried our level best to honor whatever he told us. So this person now started saying, you know what? وَاللَّهِ لَوْ أَدْرَكْنَاهُ لَحَمَلْنَاهُ عَلَى أَعْنَاقِنَا. وَمَا تَرَكْنَاهُ يَمْشِي عَلَى الْأَرْضِ. If I had to see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I would have put him on my shoulders. And I wouldn't allow him to walk on the earth. Huzaifa ibn Yaman said, my brother, talk is cheap, hold your tracks. Talk is cheap, hold your tracks. Revoke your statements, revoke your sentiments. If you had to be with us on the night of Khandaq, I won't know. And I don't know if you would have even protected your iman. If you had to be with us on the night of Khandaq, I give you another narration and then I'll walk you briefly through the incident. Abu Na'im makes mention of it in Hilya. One Sahabi, his son came to him and he said, Ya Abata, Ra'aytum Rasulallah. Oh my dad, you seen the Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? He said, yes indeed. He said, Wallahi law ra'aytuhu lafa'altu wa lafa'altu. If I had to see him, I would have walked the extra mile. I would have done everything for the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like I said, Allah selected those that were genuine. Not you and I that are hypocritical. I gave recently a dedicated talk on the life of Umar. And when I went to Medina, I stood there by the grave of Umar and I cried and I sobbed. I said, Umar, from plotting the assassination of the Master, what a revolution that you sleep in at his feet. What a life have you led, that your name is embedded in the heart of every Muslim, religious or otherwise. The name of Umar and you tear. The thought of Umar and there is a flush of excitement in the body. What was the legacy he left behind? So the father said to the son, my son, if you had to see us on the night of Khandaq, the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, may yadhhabu, fayatina bikhabrihim, جعله الله رفيقي يوم القيامة فما قام من الناس أحد من صميم ما بهم من الجوع والقر. Don't say this, my son, that if you were there, you would have done this. Only one incident of the price we paid in the initial stages, it was Khandak. You know now in the UK the coal you are going through. You know the difficulty you are experiencing. How many flights, the mayhem, the chaos, and how many things before I flew in, monitoring the website if the flight will come in and the rest of it. If you had to be with us on the night of Khandak, the Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, who will stand up, gather the intelligence, report on information that's unfolding on the opposite camp, and I promise Allah will make him my friend in Jannah. Nobody stood up, nobody mustered the courage to volunteer. He again made the request. Would anybody stand up? Nobody volunteered. He for the third time made the request and nobody stood up until he individually addressed Huzaifa ibn Yaman. And he said, Huzaifa, respond. And obviously I had no choice in the matter. لا تجعلوا دعاء الرسول بينكم كدعاء بعضكم بعضا قد يعلم الله الذين يتسللون منكم لواذا. Do not consider the invite of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a common slogan amongst you. When he addresses you, it becomes divine. The narration of Hakim and Bayhaqi, Huzaifa ibn Yaman says, "Nahnu safun qu'ud." We were sitting in our rows. It was the night of Khandak. When I went once to Medina, I took a friend of mine. I said, "Show me where the trenches were dug. Show me where my Nabi stood. Show me where he tied the stone to his belly. Show me the location of Jabir radiallahu anhu's house. Let my mind turn the pages of history and try to imagine, try to endeavor to imagine what must have been that moment and excitement, what must have been that challenge." But yet the presence of the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept them bonded and united. He said, we were sitting in our rows, Abu Sufyan wa man ma'ahu fawqana. Abu Sufyan and his army were on the upper end of Medina. Quraidatu asfalu minna. Banu Quraidah were on the lower end of Medina. نَخَافُهُمْ عَلَى ذَرَارِينَا. We feared a dual attack. Abu Sufyan's attack on us, Quraidah's attack on our children. وَمَا أَتَتْ عَلَيْنَا. You experiencing cold in the UK now? وَمَا أَتَتْ عَلَيْنَا لَيْلَةٌ قَتُّ أَشَدُّ ظُلْمًا وَلَا أَشَدُّ رِيحًا مِّنْهَا. In our life in Medina, there wasn't a colder night than that night. وَهِيَ ظُلْمَةٌ مَا يَرَى أَحَدُنَا إِصْبَعَهُ. It was so cold, you couldn't spot your finger. You couldn't see your finger. Now a thought comes to mind in Surah Nur in the 18th Juz, where Allah speaks about the layers of darkness in the life of a disbeliever. أَوْكَ ظُلُمَاتٍ فِي بَحْرِ الْلُجِّيِّ يَغْشَاهُ مَوْجٌ مِّن فَوْقِهِ مَوْجٌ مِّن فَوْقِهِ سَحَاب ظُلُمَاتٌ بَعْضُهَا فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ إِذَا أَخْرَجَ يَدَهُ لَمْ يَكَدْ يَرَاهَا وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لَهُ نُورًا فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ نُورٍ. Allah says the disbeliever is enveloped and engulfed with so many layers of darkness. It's like it's the dead of night. It's the deep ocean. It's the dark ocean. Above him is a wave. Above that wave is another wave. And above that are the dark clouds. And it's a dark night. إِذَا أَخْرَجَ يَدَهُ. When he exposes his hand, when he exposes his hand, لَمْ يَكَدْ يَرَاهَا. He cannot even see his own hand. Understand? The scholars of tafsir say that the phrase of the Quran is so unique because the hand is something you can draw close to your eyes. Any other organ you cannot draw close. Yet the Quran says that there's such layers of darkness. What did the Sahabi say? وَهِيَ ظُلْمَةٌ مَا يَرَى أَحَدُنَا إِصْبَعَهُ. It was so dark, it was so cold, it was so icy that we couldn't see anything. فَجَعَلَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ يَسْتَأْذِنُونَ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. The moment was too daunting for the hypocritical to still play the act. Now the act gets exposed. How long can you play on? You can lie. What they say, you can fool all the people some of the time. And you can fool some of the people all the time. But you can't fool all the people all the time. The moment became too daunting. وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرِ. The hearts reached the throats. وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَ. And you started harboring multiple thoughts. هُنَالِكَ ابْتُلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The believers were jolted. وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. So the munafiqeen came and they said, إِنَّ بُيُوتَنَا عَوْرًا. In Bayanul Quran it is written, their participation on this occasion and all occasions was nothing more than takthir as sawad. They only added to the numbers which psychologically weakened the opponents. In terms of active physical contribution, nothing from them. Yes, their presence psychologically weakened the opponents because the numbers appeared to be big. But they were not even comfortable to add in their numbers. That's it. So they came and they said, "Inna buyutana awra, wa ma hiya bi awra." That our homes are exposed. Ay sahlatul manali liman aradaha fiha. Everybody wants to attack, so please. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not deliberate. He did not engage. He did not argue. Whoever would ask, he said, "You can go. You can go." And as they left, our numbers were considerably reduced. Considerably reduced. Now, Huzaifa radiallahu anhu is saying, "You said you would carry the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on your shoulders? You said you would put him on your shoulders?" He said, then the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to us. Istaqbalana Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam rajulan rajulan. He came to us individually. Hatta ata alayya. And then I seen him coming. He said, "It was so cold. I mean, this morning when we came out of the hotel and we were getting to the car, I see the brothers are de-icing the car. I'm like, what's happening?" "Well, Sheikh, that's it. You have a whole kit when you move around in this weather. Think for a moment." He said, "It was so cold. Many of my companions dug a hole. They hid themselves in the hole and then they took their shield and they covered it. It's an accepted fact, in cold you tend to feel more hungry. When it's cold, you feel more hungry. When it's hot, you feel more thirsty." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to me. Wama alayya junnatum min al-aduwi wala min al-bardi. I had no shield against the enemy, nor a shawl against the cold. Illa mirtun kisa'un min sufin li-imra'ati. I had a woolen shawl, that also I borrowed from my wife. Ma yujawizu rukbatayya. I mean, look at the cold we experience in. So you don't have to run through. You can apply your mind at this very moment. It barely covered my knees. Ma yujawizu rukbatayya. Fataqasartu lil ardi. I clung to the earth. Fa'atani. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to me. Wa ana jathin ala rukbatayya. And I was squatting on my knees. He said, "Man hadha? Who is this brother? It's dark, it's cold, it's windy, it's icy." I, in a very faint voice, with a crack in my voice, I said, "Oh Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is Huzaifa." He said, "Stand up, O Huzaifa. Stand up, O Huzaifa. Innahu ka'inun fil qawmi khabrun. Fa'atini bi khabri al-qawm." There's some new developments happening on the opposite camp. You want to intercept the intelligence and report back to me. وَأَنَا مِنْ أَشَدِّ النَّاسِ فَزَعًا وَأَشَدِّهِمْ قُرًّا. To compound the problem, while there was general cold, me as a person, I felt the most cold. I felt the most cold. And I felt the most hunger. But I responded to the call.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.